Welcome to the Medical Care Blog Podcast. This episode is for November of 2021. I am Jessica Williams, and I am one of the co-editors of the blog. This month, we've had some exciting posts. We started off the month with a post on why pregnant Black women are among the least likely to be vaccinated for COVID-19 by University of Kansas School of Medicine researchers Sharla Smith, Michelle Redman, and Jason Glenn. Their insightful post discusses the roots of vaccine hesitancy among Black pregnant women and the historical context. The final part of their post discusses how to rebuild trust and increase vaccination with specific strategies for providers. Among the specific recommendations were that trusted healthcare providers who have received the vaccine could recommend it and provide specific safety information to Black pregnant women. Read the post to learn about the others. This month, we also shared a post about COVID-19 and health workforce equity that was authored by Candace Chen and Patricia Pittman from the Fitzwilliam Mullen Institute for Health Workforce Equity at the Milken Institute for Public Health. Their post covered numerous topics about equity within the healthcare workforce based on a special issue of medical care that they guest edited. While the COVID-19 pandemic has laid bare some inequities, such as access to personal protective equipment, others have yet to gain public recognition. Shortages of both clinical and non-clinical staff are just the beginning. The post also covers burnout and ways to improve health workforce equity. The blog and related commentary appearing in the special issue lay out 6 policy goals, including safer and fairer working conditions to be addressed. Another post was written by 2 medical care section members, Lisa Flaherty and Tiffany Johnson. Their post was about authentic leadership and how it could be used in public health and medicine. Authentic leaders work to establish relationships, practice self-discipline, understand purpose, and lead with heart, according to their post. They explore the concept that authentic leaders believe that humans are the most important asset of the organization. Sounds like something all sectors could use more of, not just public health and medicine. Check out their great post to learn more. Our final post this month was written by a PhD student, Dina Turkmani, and it breaks down some of the lessons we've learned about telemedicine during the pandemic. The rapid growth in the use of telemedicine showed that while it can solve some access issues, it highlights other problems. Dina's post also makes some great recommendations about specific lessons from the pandemic and highlights the need for research-based best practice guidelines for future telemedicine use. It was a great month with some fascinating and diverse posts, and November's journal issue has some great articles to read. An article by Dennis Quigley and colleagues evaluated a shadow coaching program for physicians to help them improve their communication with patients. They found small improvements in CAP scores, but that the effects faded after 2.5 years. Not surprising when the coaching sessions were only a day long. Both the article and the accompanying editorial by Stephen Adelman suggest improvements in coaching, such as adding additional sessions, that could help providers improve their communication and maintain those gains over time. Mental health has continued to suffer as the pandemic drags on. Liu and colleagues estimated how much it cost to implement a particular evidence-based train-the-trainer program to disseminate mental health training, and they did this in an allopathic medical school faculty. The goal of the program was to then have faculty teach medical students and residents how to better deliver care for mental health. They found that the total cost of implementing the program, including a 12-month startup and an 18-month rollout period, was $9.7 million. Check out their article for estimates for the nation and the potential to improve mental health care. Another article in the November issue evaluated the huge mental health integration program in Los Angeles County. This program embedded behavioral health specialists in primary care clinics to deliver brief, problem-focused treatments, and also to provide psychiatric consultation support for the prescription of psychotropic medications. The mental health integration program was associated with more psychiatric diagnoses coded in safety net primary care visits than previously. The blog and the journal have had some extensive coverage of telemedicine in the past few years. A new study using the summer and fall Medicare Current Beneficiary Survey, specifically the coronavirus disease supplements, explored whether the rate of audio-only telemedicine during the pandemic was related to patient access to technology or to provider behavior. The authors of this article found that audio-only use of telemedicine technology was only partially related to patient access to technology. Some food for thought. Another article published this month was also about Medicare, but instead about patient-reported outcomes in the CMS Bundled Payments for Care Improvement Initiative. The authors found no differences in self-reported functional improvement between BPCI and comparison respondents with vulnerable characteristics. Patient-reported care experience was similar between BPCI and comparison respondents for most subgroups. However, BPCI respondents with congestive heart failure, sepsis, and pneumonia were less likely to indicate positive care experiences than comparison respondents. Overall, though, the BPCI Model 2 was not associated with adverse effects on patient-reported functional status among beneficiaries who are specifically vulnerable to reductions in care. There is still work to be done, though, on the patient experience of folks in the BPCI model. Other articles published this month discuss racial disparities in avoidable hospitalizations, group-based trajectory modeling, heterogeneity of treatment effects, and the cost-effectiveness of a digital intervention, as well as the impact of language on hospital care. Check out our November issue of the Medical Care Journal website to read more about these excellent topics.